truth drove off, sometimes lies decay. I ran my mouth off a bit too much, or what did I say? Well, you just laughed it off, it was all okay.
Changing its pricing scheme, Korea, and how it's going to start using robots. Think like, it's really creepy. Think like iRobot, like robots helping out with shit around the house and crap like that, which is pretty damn futuristic. And computers running, or computers being built at the molecular level, and Microsoft Virtual Server going free. And then we're going to also talk about staying anonymous on the internet, about ARP spoofing, and so, yeah, we have no email today. So
that's
just,
right.
Yeah, because, yeah, people need to email us. STFUradio@yahoo.com. Send an email, because... yeah, we need email, because email is hot and sexy.
Yes.
Scandal.
Yeah, send us your nudes, if you're a chick, yeah.
Okay,
if
that works too. We could always do that.
Yeah.
And, again, I don't think we actually said this, but we do have the guest speaker, Zip Coder, with us today.
Yeah.
Yay! Zip Coder, while my homie for life death.
Yeah, right there. Damn straight.
He's actually mirroring server for the show, so that's cool.
Yeah, I'll be mirroring all the episodes, so you won't have to download them off of Doctor's bandwidth and wait 9 hours to listen to one show and then get all mad. But, yeah, so.
That's right. Awesome. We can thank him for that later.
But, yeah, so speaking of which, STFU Radio in the last 3 months has gotten more than 1,000 downloads. It's, I think, 1,300, actually. And this is pretty good for a radio show on the Internet when there's so many other ones out there, you know. It's gotten 1,300. That's props on that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we never really checked our logs before, but when I gave them to ZipCoder, he checked them out for us, which was, and told us that, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, I didn't think we had that many listeners. So I was whoring out our show last episode. I told, like, everybody about it and put it on all my signatures and all the boards that I'm on.
Yeah.
So that helped.
I actually found out about the show. By going through Hacker Media. I was on BinRev, and I saw the link to Hacker Media, and I went there. And on Hacker Media, they're like, STFU Radio, Episode 11 release. And I was like, oh, I'll go see this. And I go on there, and then it's like someone named Thug Styles has contributed on, like, the last episode. And I was like, I know that person. So, and then the next day he brought it up. He's like, yeah, I contribute on a radio show called STFU Radio. I was like, yeah, I just downloaded that. So it took me, like, 3 hours to download one episode, and I was on cable Internet. But I did download it and listen to it. It was pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so.
Sweet. All right, so moving on. We're going to go into some news after this song, and we're going to play the next song. It's called Blow Your Mind by Darude. Oh, yeah, and the one we played at the beginning of the show was called Float On by Modest Mouse. So, yeah, enjoy it.
I'm keeping on with my words so strong, pure perfection from beginning to the end. I'm here once again, blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm keeping on with my words so strong, pure perfection from beginning to the end. I'm here once again, blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm keeping on with my words so strong, pure perfection from beginning to the end. I'm here once again, blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm keeping on with my words so strong, pure perfection from beginning to the end. I'm here once again, blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm keeping on with my words so strong, pure perfection from beginning to the end. I'm here once again, blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm keeping on with my words so strong, pure perfection from beginning to the end. I'm here once again, blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm keeping on with my words so strong, blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm blow your mind with the rock in front. I'm here once again. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to STFU Radio. We're going to go into some news now. First thing we're going to talk about is about robots being used in South Korea by 2015. And it's a project in South Korea where they are hoping to use robots like in the normal everyday lives of people, like have robots like teach people things, sing and dance for their owners, and do like household chores and stuff like that. And outside of the house, they're expecting them to assist with public safety, help customers at places like the post office and stuff, and patrol for security. And so that's pretty damn futuristic. So yeah, it's they have like 1,000 scientists from different universities and research institutes around South Korea working on making that a reality. And they're hoping that they'll get it all by, like, every house will have, like, a robot in it by 2015, which kind of sounds to me like when I think in, like, the 1940s or so, they thought everybody would, cars would become obsolete and that everybody would have be flying around an airplane by the 80s or something, which turned out to be not true, so.
You guys don't have your own airplanes yet? Jeez, get with the program.
God, welcome to 2002.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know, but my real question is for this. Do they run Linux? The most important question here. Do the robots run Linux?
Who knows?
And two, can they do my homework?
Yes, they can do your homework.
They can do my homework.
They can do your
great
homework.
Yeah. Do my homework. There we go. Right there. I'll buy one of those.
This is going to remind me of the movie iRobot. All the robots are going to turn evil.
That's what I was
start
just thinking,
everything.
Like, as I read this. Actually, wait, what did they name these things? Oh, never mind. I was thinking... Yeah, this sounds exactly like that movie.
Yeah, I'm really scared of some, like, little one-foot-tall thing on wheels that runs around and dusts up the floor. Gonna kill you, run!
Yeah,
I don't know, have you ever seen the Roomba? Have you guys seen the Roomba when it's working? It's a little vacuum cleaner robot.
Yeah.
The thing takes like 2 hours to clean one room. I'm not even kidding. It's like making circles and it gets lost. And I mean, at least it's smart enough not to bump into walls, but then you have to go through later and vacuum up the areas around the walls. But yeah, so.
It's still pretty sweet though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a picture of one on this article. They don't look humanoid or anything at all, but yeah. Well, I guess the dancing ones would have to look kind of humanoid.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, what were they, those little pets that you could train after telling them the same thing over and over again?
Furbies?
What were those things? Furbies,
robot
yeah.
Things
or
oh, Furbies. God.
They're going to be like Furbies.
Would you consider a robot or a Furby a robot?
Furbies always reminded me of Gremlins. You guys ever see that movie?
No.
Yeah. The Gremlins movie? Yeah, that's what the Furbies reminded me of.
You're going to keep on telling the robot, no, fuck you, no, fuck you. All of a sudden, you're going to say, hey, do my homework, bitch. It's going to say, no, fuck you.
I remember,
fucking
like,
robot.
The day
my robot told me
no. A long time ago, it was, like, fucking annoying. Like, you cannot even imagine.
The day my robot tells me no is the day that I'm installing Windows Vista on it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yay.
So by 2015, South Korea will have a robot in every home. Just like by 2005, we were supposed to have all digital TV in every home, and we still don't, so. Yeah. Good luck with that, South Korea, you know?
Yeah, but see, South Korea and Japan, they're ahead of us in technology, so I see them doing it.
Yeah, especially
they're
Japan.
They're ahead of us, like, a lot, but I don't see them doing this.
Yeah, I can see them. They're still too expensive. I mean, what was that little gorilla robot thing that they made? Wasn't that, like, $20,000 or something? Or, like, some insane amount of money for that little teeny robot that they made, or that Sony made?
You mean the dog?
No, that they had like a gorilla that they made. I don't know.
I thought they just had a dog.
No, I think one of them had a gorilla. So
I don't remember.
I don't know. When you guys can Google it, I'm on dial-up, by the way, so I can't be on at the same time. I am still stuck in the days of AOL.
Noob.
Yeah.
You.
I remember being on AOL and going into IRC rooms and getting kicked because of my host name. It was so terrible. But I don't use AOL anymore. I use Earthlink accounts and NetZero and PeoplePC accounts and lots of accounts.
Yay.
Okay, so have fun in South Korea with your robots.
All right, moving on. Music labels are trying to get Apple to change its pricing scheme on iTunes. Right now, iTunes, everything is 99 cents. But the music labels are trying to change it so that for, like, newer songs or more popular songs, they charge, like, maybe $1.50 or something like that, which Apple does not want to do. Because Apple has all the cards right now, so the record companies really can't do shit.
Apple has 70% of the online legal music purchasing market. So they've got all the other studio or the other producers behind them to do this, and the consumers are behind them too. 99 cents, legal song download, It would alienate the consumer, so I don't think.
Yeah,
that'd be
and also
idea.
What iTunes is competing against, they've got. You can always get that song on like for free off LimeWire or BitTorrent or whatever.
Yeah.
So they're competing against people getting things for free. So you raise the price on that, and you're gonna have way more people going and just downloading off P2P.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I've never used any of the pay services. I've got LimeWire Pro, and didn't pay for that either. So big surprise. And I've got a neighbor who has an iPod Nano, and says, "Oh, how many songs do you have on your iPod?" And she's like, 20 songs." I was like, "Oh, okay. How long have you had it?" "Oh, a couple months." I was like, "So how can you have more songs than it?" "Oh, I only buy them like when I feel like I have the extra money." And it's like you buy your songs. Yeah, $1 a piece. I was like, "Oh." It's like I just downloaded 300 songs yesterday on my school's network, using LimeWire Pro, and I didn't pay anything. So
you can use LimeWire at school?
I have BitTorrent, LimeWire, and one other thing all running. No, I run a Tor client in server mode that everybody can use Tor. And then I run BitTorrent. I run BitTorrent 24/7. I'm not kidding.
You
I log
BitTorrent
in remotely.
And LimeWire over Tor?
No, not over Tor. I would never do that. I run a Tor server on the school network, so people can use my school's bandwidth on like the weekends and nights to use Tor. And then at the same time, I also run BitTorrent and LimeWire Pro to get all my downloads at school because I'm on dial-up, and it takes an hour to download one song. So.
I hope nobody from your school is listening to this.
I hope so, too. So, I don't know. Yeah, that'd be pretty bad. My school's website actually got defaced, like, 2 months ago, and they replaced it with JavaScript. So after 10 seconds, it would pop up, I think it was Hardcore Detroit or some gay porn thing. It would pop up, so all the users would go there, and it would pop up, and it would be gay porn. And, like, I get called into the office on Monday, and I go in there. It happened on a Friday. I get called in on Monday. And the principal wants to talk to me, and then, like, she comes out, "Oh, never mind, you can go." I was like, "Okay, why?" She's like, "We caught the guy already." I was like, "Caught the guy who did what?" "Defaced the website." I was like, "Oh, that's great. You automatically thought it was me." But, yeah, so. Yeah, I don't think that,
activities.
I don't think iTunes would have much of a chance with that, so. Or, I don't think iTunes will do that, because that would really alienate the consumer. And also the same thing, how do we know, like, it would be kind of unfair because a popular song would be a song that gets a lot of downloads, or how they would define that, you get a whole bunch of downloads at $1, like, "Oh, hey, so many people are downloading it, let's up it from $1 to $1.50.
Yeah,
that would piss me off if I were actually buying music off of them, so.
But they would know before the song came out if it was going to be popular or not, depending on who the artist was
Well, yeah, that's true, but there's a lot of songs that are just like overnight hits. They would have to leave those at, you know,
right,
a dollar, because if they upped them to $1.50 after they'd already released it, that would piss me off as a consumer. I'd be like, you know, you're not doing that. That's not cool. And I'd just go download it for free. So, you know?
Do
you guys legally buy music?
The music companies are kind of like doing right, like, got them screwed over with CDs in the first place. Like, you've got CDs with, like, one good song that you pay, like, $14 for, and it probably, I would guess that it does not take that much money to produce that CD. So,
yeah,
so they're just trying to, maximize on their profit, and they're going to get fucked over if it actually happens, so.
You know, and when you think about it, how much of that money that they're making off the CD and everything is actually going back to the person who wrote it? If there was a way where I could just, you know, I download illegally, right? But if I could compensate some of the artists whose song I actually like by like giving them a couple dollars, I would do that. But you can't do that. You have to go and, you know, get the big marked up price because it's marked up by the music industry because they're taking the artist's stuff and they're selling it like outrageous prices. So.
Yeah, and the label only gets, or the artist only gets like 5%. The label gets about 90% of what the CD makes. Or
if I could give that 5% directly to an artist, I would totally do that. You know, if I actually like that artist, the songs that I download and I listen to, I would. It's like when I go downtown and I see people, you know, drumming or playing music on the streets. I walk past them really fast, but in another life, I'd probably stop and give them money. So.
But all at the same time, you got to think a lot of these artists are actually going out and making their own record labels just for that matter.
Yeah, just for that, so, you know. Oh, this is Steph the Geek. She released a music album. She's, I don't know, some nerdy girl. But, yeah, so anyway, she's popular or something. She runs her mini porn site or something. So StephTheGeek.com, and she just released her first album without any help of an agent or music company or anything. And you can download all the songs in Ogg Vorbis or MP3 for free. There's also full rights to remix them, do anything you want with them, and give them away for free again. Or you can legally buy the CD off of her. But she offers, it's like an open source license for music. And I thought that was pretty cool because, you know.
It is.
Right off of her site, you know, so.
God bless open source.
Open source music, there you go.
That is pretty late. Yeah, with the internet, like, a lot of independent artists who, like, in the past wouldn't have been able to, like, really get their music out, they're, like, starting up websites and just, like, letting you download their music for free off their website, which is...
Yeah. Or how about the MySpace music stuff, man? That's crazy. Yes. All the bands on MySpace now?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It makes me... I'm getting private messages from them, like, telling me, hey, come check out my band page. I see that you're into music. Like, yeah, I'm into music. Who's not? You know, go check out this band's page. And they have the recordings right on their profile. And it was actually some good music, but, you know, stuff I wouldn't have found otherwise. So.
But it makes me sick that MySpace actually produced its own album.
Yeah, their own record label. Yeah. They made their own album. It was kind of funny. And if you bought it or something, didn't they, like, let you upload more pictures or something? Or?
Oh, I don't even know.
I'm not big on MySpace. I don't go there that much, so. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah.
All right, moving
iTunes,
on.
Don't do that.
Yeah, moving on. Molecular computers. Scientists at IBM Research Center in Silicon Valley have created a magnetism manipulating tool to build computers at the molecular level. So it's based on the spinning of electrons and atoms. So and it's called spin excitation spectroscopy. And it uses specialized microscopes capable of generating magnetic fields about 140,000 times stronger than that of the Earth. So basically they're working with atoms to, like, make computers, like, on a molecular level. And, like, with, on a motherboard, with what makes different processors faster is how closely those transistors are grouped. So I'm guessing, like, that this is an effort to make those transistors even closer than could ever be, like, normally by making them on, like, the molecular and atomic levels.
Yeah.
Which is pretty neat.
Yeah. But more importantly, does it run Linux?
What the fuck?
No, it's a joke. But yeah, so I don't know. I think what they're doing is just, you know, they want to be able to build computer devices like on a really small scale, like build a hard drive that's like 4 atoms wide, you know. It's just like 4 atoms stuck together and then have that, you know, the magnetic stuff there. So I don't know. But it would allow us to make things a lot smaller. We would be able to fit more transistors on a chip and
faster.
I was listening to a podcast, this science podcast, a while ago, and they were talking about making processors out of DNA, which because like DNA has stuff grouped way closer together than like anything people have ever produced. So if you can replicate DNA and group stuff really close together that way, then you can get, like, really fast computers, it's a similar thing along those lines, but they're both really damn awesome.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool, but it sounds like one of those things that's, you know, long off, you know, like after I die or something. So.
Nah, you'd still be alive.
You think?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
all
be
the
crazy.
Radiation
that
we're getting
like
from Wi-Fi.
Having your computer be alive with the DNA stuff.
Those damn iRobots are going to be made out of DNA.
Who knows? Although, would they really be robots after that, or would they be, like, living beings?
They'd be artificial intelligence.
What was that one movie with Robin Williams?
Yeah, what are human brains but artificial intelligence, created by the millions of years of evolution, or something like that?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not really that worried about someone, like, taking over or some robots coming and taking over my life or something, so... I'm more worried of, like,
get to the ocean
Microsoft
and drowned.
Oh, come on. Haven't you seen iRobot?
Yeah, I've seen iRobot. But, like, I really don't see that as, like, plausible.
He's
not in my lifetime, so. Yeah. God, freaking annoying neighbors ringing my doorbell. Don't they know that, like, I'm doing something really important? Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, so. You're really not that old, dude. Like, a lot of stuff is going to be in your lifetime.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, World War III, Google taking over the world, Bill Gates, like, transforming into the Antichrist, all those things.
Bill Gates dying.
Yeah, so.
Death of Bill Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates is the Antichrist.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Yeah. Have you seen the movie with, I think it's Robin Williams, and he was, like, a robot or something? And he was just supposed to be, like, some stupid machine robot, but then, like, he... by some weird accident, he had, like, artificial intelligence, and, like, the family kept him or something, and then he made all, like, this biological machine hybrid stuff and made himself look human or something. It was out a while ago, and I saw it, and it was an interesting movie, so.
Never heard of it.
The name of it. Huh? Well, yeah, I don't know. It was a released movie. That might have been it. No.
I don't think that was Robin Williams, though.
Yeah, look, I don't know, I'd have to look on IMDb or something, but, yeah, Robin Williams is in a robot movie, so. And he played the robot, and then eventually he actually looked like Robin Williams, but he was still a robot. And, yeah,
crazy.
So, yeah, and yeah, it was kind of interesting. So, yeah, but yeah, so I'm not so afeard of them coming and killing me or taking over the world, but like Matrix style oppression, I'm not worried of that. So, and besides, you know, if I was a brain in a vat, I wouldn't mind. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so moving on.
Woot.
So Microsoft Virtual Server is going to go free. Like, it's going to be completely free of charge and for download. And it's going to, first off, support Linux for an OS running
Linux
on a virtual server. So like, you in the past, you've been able to run Linux on it, but if you had problems with it, you couldn't call tech support and ask for help because they didn't support it, but now they're going to support it. And then they're also making it free, so you can download it without paying anything.
Well, you all know VMware is the same thing with
your server. And it also teamed up with the developers of the Open Source Zen project, or
yeah.
product, or whatever. And basically, they're ganging up on VMware, which is charges money.
Well, VMware has the free player, and VMware also just released their server version for free. You can get VMware. The reason all this happened is because Zen came out, right?
Yeah.
And Zen is just incredible. There's, like, no loss in, you know, when it does the emulation type stuff, you don't lose any power at all. If you have a 3 gigahertz processor, you can get 3 gigahertz out of your Zen machine, you know, when you're running Zen. And then that prompted VMware, you know, they're like, oh, crap. So VMware ended up releasing their VMware player, and that was free. That's just to play already created virtual machines. But then VMware went ahead and released the VM server. They've released that for free, too. And now Microsoft is following suit and also releasing theirs for free. All this is caused by Zen in the first place releasing the open source stuff that was just totally kick-ass. So this is a case of, you know, open source, you know, causing the commercial entities to, you know, have to release their products for free. So, you know.
Yeah, this is basically like Microsoft, like, they know that they're – virtual server product is both inferior to both Zen and VMware, so right, they can't keep on charging anything and keep expecting customers because they suck compared
yes,
to.
Yes, I noticed all this happened after Zen came out, and I've got friends who are into Zen, and they're just raving about it. And so, you know, so all this happened. You know, first VMware releases their server product for free, and then the VMware player and. And now this with the Microsoft thing, it's all caused by Zen being totally kick-ass. So, yeah.
Gotta love persuasion.
Yeah, I think Zen is Linux only right now. I'm not sure, but that's what I've heard. I'm pretty sure it only runs on Linux, but you can run, you know, other virtual machines inside of it. So I'm not so much, you know, I don't know that much about it just from what my friends tell me. So, but, yeah, if you're running Linux, go check out Zen. So.
Yeah, I've pretty much only used VMware for my stuff.
Yeah, I've been running VMware
free anyway
5.5.
Before they released it for free, but yeah, that's the point.
Are you using the player?
No, I'm using the server and player.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I've been running Workstation 5.5 from VMware for like a couple months now. I really like it. I've got, I think, Windows 2003 server and Windows 2000, and then like a Vista beta or something in there, and then my Linux stuff's on there too. It's so nice because all the Linux stuff works perfectly in VMware. No drivers to configure, or, you know, no crazy hardware support you need. It just works.
Yeah, that's what I've been using for a while, especially for my class stuff, for my Linux class. Since my laptop is a piece of shit that I had to get from Dell because my school picked it out for me.
Oh.
I said, you know, I'm not going to partition this because I only got about 20 gigs anyway.
Yeah.
So it worked out.
Yeah, partitioning jobs kind of suck. I don't like any of the partitioning programs out there, not even QtPart. They've never worked for me. It's always like, oops, there's an error. Try defragmenting and then try again. And I defragment like four times and run check disk. It's like, oops, there's still an error. I can't repartition your hard drive. You know,
sure,
call the developers. Like, I can't call the developers. I didn't pay for this. Yeah, so, I don't know.
They've always worked for me, everything
yeah.
pretty much.
I don't know.
I've used QtParted, Partition Magic, FDisk, always works for me pretty much. As long as it's not something like RazorFS or something where, like, I can't change the starting point or something like that, so.
I can't get it to, I've got a 300 gig NTFS drive on SATA, and I can't get it to do anything with that. So it like starts
NTFS
cracking.
Is pretty hard to manipulate.
Yeah.
Like Parted can't really do anything with NTFS. If you try Partition Magic, it should
that's probably
work.
That's why I used Partition Magic, and it was just giving me error after error. It's like defragment and then run check disk, and I was, and it's just eventually
what
I just gave up.
What are you trying to do with it?
Yeah, I ended up just reinstalling Windows, and when I installed Windows, I left 30 gigs off for my Gen 2 partition, so. Yeah.
Yeah, NTFS is pretty hard to manipulate. I run FAT32 with my Windows boxes, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that pretty much wraps it up for the news section. Going on, this next song is called Rock Your Body by Barry Corsten. When we come back, we'll talk about ARP spoofing and staying anonymous on the net. Enjoy it.
Your body rocks.
Welcome back to SDFU Radio. During that song, Gray Fox happened to hop in, so, yeah, he's joining us.
Yeah.
Say hello, Gray Fox.
Greetings and salutations. It is I, Gray Fox.
Yay. Okay, so, first thing I'll go and do is staying anonymous on the net. So, you know, there's been a lot of stuff with, like the Patriot Act and all these emergency powers for law enforcement agencies to snoop on you. And so, yeah, it can get pretty annoying. Like, even if you've done nothing wrong, like, if you're, like, been associated with a mosque or something that has been looked into for terrorism or something like that, you can be completely innocent and people can still, or the law enforcement agencies can still look into your shit, so... which can really suck. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to stay anonymous on the internet and hide your IP and all that stuff. So you can't really be tracked. So the first thing that you would use when trying to stay anonymous is proxies. And what these do is you tunnel through them by... when you send out a connection, instead of directly connecting, it sends the signal through a proxy, and the proxy routes it out. And then when it responds to the proxy, and you get the proxy routes the response to you. So it acts as an intermediary, and the server that you connect to thinks that your IP address is the proxy's IP address, and it protects you that way. It really doesn't fully hide your IP address. It just puts another step between you and the law enforcement or whatever. Because if somebody really wants to find out who you are, they can just go to the proxy server, whoever runs it, and subpoena them for their logs.
Yeah.
Which will have your real IP in them and all the activities you did through that proxy, at least. So, and then they find out who you are anyway. But if you aren't, like, really doing anything wrong, then it'll just hide your IP. And also, it can, like, proxies in very remote countries are less likely to give information to U.S. officials. Because, like, if you got a proxy in the U.S., they could subpoena for the logs really fast. Proxy in London would cooperate. Or proxy in Britain would cooperate easy. But if you get a proxy in some, like, remote African country that nobody's, like, ever heard of, like, if you go and get a, like, proxy in, what's a good country? Papua New Guinea, it's, Papua New Guinea is never going to cooperate with the United States on stuff like that. So,
well, the other thing to consider is geographically, you know, when you choose a farther away proxy, you're going to get a slowdown in connection speed. You know, using proxies in the first place, it gets slower in most cases, you know. But using one further away, it can get even slower. And, like, when you can chain proxies together, so you can add, like, an extra step in between, you know. So first they'd have to go and get the one proxy computer's logs, and then they'd just find the IP address of the other proxy, and, you know. You can chain them together, but then you lose even more. You know, it takes longer for the packets to travel, you know, round trip. Another thing with using proxies that I find is that, especially in Russia, I never trust Russian proxies anymore. I find that what it ends up being, it's just some hacker who's running a box, and it's recording all of the traffic, setting you up for a man-in-the-middle attack, or, you know, or sniffing all the traffic, or, you know, doing a man-in-the-middle. So, you know, I only use proxies now from people who I know who set them up and people who I trust, you know. I won't go to the proxy list and just find one in Russia and start using that, because a good deal of my traffic is going to get sniffed by the person at the other end, you know, who's in the middle.
Right.
So they can have to record the whole thing. So
yeah.
It's a security risk.
Normally, I really don't like – I usually get them within the U.S. anyway, because I'm not really doing much that would – I wouldn't want anybody to know about, so I just try to find something that's kind of close to me for the speed. in San Francisco or something like that. So
yeah.
It's not pretty much a non-issue for me. But if I'm doing something like going on some website that I don't want anybody finding out about, I'll get something in like some random really remote country and take the docking speed for a little bit. But yeah, so it depends on how much security you want, really.
Yeah.
But all at the same time, you could go through a proxy, an anonymous proxy, and have that go through a cached proxy.
Yeah.
Cached proxy being one that has all a whole shitload of websites cached in its directory so that it's faster hits. Boom, you're there. Yeah. Boom, you're there.
That's what I think. That's what the was it Net Zero that offers the 3G internet service?
Yeah.
I know one of the one of the dial companies is like, it's way faster than dial up, and it's still dial up, obviously. But I think what all the it is that they have, like, first of all, they have the image compression stuff that you can set up so it like makes the images look really crappy and like smaller size. And at the same time, it caches all of the pages that are being visited. And so if someone else tries to visit the same page, like all the images and stuff, anything that hasn't changed is loaded up directly to the user so they don't have to wait for the web server. So it's not necessarily faster. It's just it's all been cached already. So I know on dial-up I have my personal computer cache set to like 2 gigs, so hopefully I never have to, you know. I don't care. There's stuff in there you could find, and I really don't care what people find, but, you know. So, but, yeah, I have my cache set high because it makes it faster for me.
And speaking of caching, also there's two types of proxies you can use, web and SOX. And the difference is that SOX proxies don't cache at all, so which means that none of what you do will be saved to any hard drive or anything. But so they're slower than web proxies, but they are more secure.
What would Tor be considered?
Tor SOX4.
Tor later. It's basically a bunch of proxies used together, kind of.
Yeah, and they're SOX proxies. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also if you're to test how good a proxy is, you can use what is it called? Yeah, environmental variable checkers. They've got like a list of them at proxies number4all.com, and they basically test for you how much anonymity the proxy you're using gives you. So, and then it gives you a bunch of variables. The ones you want to check for are remote_ADDR, which is the IP address that it thinks that you're using. So if your own IP address, then the proxy you're using is complete shit and you need to get another one. If it's the proxy's IP address, then you're just fine. And then another one is remote host, which is your parent address, which should be the proxy's IP, you know, or if it's even better, then it shouldn't resolve at all. And if it resolves to your IP address and information for your host, then you have to use a different proxy. And next one is http://x_forwarded_4. And then pretty much just if your true IP is on there, then use a different proxy.
Yeah.
And then next one is forwarded, which if it tells whether you're using a proxy or not. It's not too bad if it knows you're using a proxy. So it'll either say you're using a proxy, but if it's blank, it doesn't know you're using a proxy. So it's not too bad if it knows you're using a proxy, but it's better if it doesn't know. Client IP, which that sometimes reveals your IP. If it does, use a different proxy. And then http_from, and if it reveals your IP there, then again use a different proxy.
So pretty much when you run the variable test, if it shows your IP address anywhere, use something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
And also, if you're on dial-up, it changes your IP every time you connect to the internet.
Oh, God, don't remind me. Oh.
So you really don't have to worry about anything at all if you're using dial-up.
Well, it's not exactly.
Cool, but dial-up is really ass-rapingly slow, so...
Well, the problem is that you're... The company, the well, at least I know with Earthlink, when I dial in, they use my number identifier. They look at the phone number it's dialing in from. They record that, and then they record what IP address they've given me and what times that I have that for. So they do like a DHCP type thing, and they give me the IP address, right? But right next to the log file, they record what number I dialed in from and what username and password I logged in from and what times I was assigned the IP address from. So theoretically, all that, let's say, the FBI has to do is go to Earthlink and say, hey, look, we have this court subpoena, we have this IP address, and here's the time. They go, and I think they keep logs something back like a year and a half or something. They go and they look that up, and they can see, look, it was dialed in from this number with this address, or with this this number, this phone number, and then this, I think they do like a line identifier or something like that. They identify the exact phone company line that's being used, so, you know, when you try to spoof your number, it doesn't work so good. And also, it records, you know, like the times and everything, and yeah. So they can still find you with dial-up, even though you get dial-up, you know. So it doesn't keep you safe from the feds. It will keep you safe from other hackers who are trying to monitor your web usage and stuff because they have to get a new IP address every time. But it won't keep you safe from, you know, a well-funded organization, especially the government. So
you know, I wonder if you could. Caller ID spoof on that, and like
you can, but it doesn't go by caller ID completely. It just gets the number off caller ID. It actually, I don't know too much about it, but it has, I think it's an AIN or ANI or something.
And well, you can ANI spoof too. So,
well, yeah. So I don't know, but it does something where it actually identifies the actual physical hardware telephone line that's being dialed in from, and then they can, you know, coordinate that with the telephone company. If they really wanted to catch you, they'd, you know, they'd coordinate that with the telephone company. The telephone company, hopefully not for you, but the telephone company would probably be able to figure out exactly what hard line you're dialing in from and, you know, trace it right up to your doorstep. So there are ways for them to find you, but, you know, it just depends how much the person wants to, you know, get to you. So, but yeah, dial-up does give you dynamic IP.
I mean, obviously, proxies aren't the only way to stay anonymous on the internet either. There's also WinGates and VPNs. Are we going to touch base on those at all?
Sure, you can.
I don't really know much about them.
Well, WinGates are kind of... Yeah, I think aren't WinGates kind of old? Like, Windows 95? I remember reading, like, really old text documents about WinGates. I haven't seen anything recently about them, so... Just from what I've... It seemed like a long time ago, and they worked just like proxies, and you could... chain them together, and that's like all I know about WinGates. And VPNs are virtual private networks. Pretty much what it is it allows it tunnels your connection directly from your connection at home. It like encrypts everything and tunnels it directly into a company's network. Okay, so let's for example say that I worked for Radio Shack, and I had login details for, you know, the Radio Shack stuff. I'd be at home on my home laptop, and let's say I wanted to connect internally to my Radio Shack network and then use their internet proxy to connect out to the internet from inside their own network. I would have their VPN host, and I would log in and authenticate, and it would connect me to their VPN server or whatever, and that's like a internet-facing server, so I'd connect to that. And then once I'm connected to that, the virtual private network, it would tunnel all of the information. It's just like SSH. It tunnels all the information from my laptop, all of the connections, directly into their network. So all of my requests go through the Radio Shack network. So I could access all of their internal IP addresses. Or if I went to the internet, it would appear to be coming from Radio Shack's network. It's pretty much it's just a tunnel, like a secure tunnel between like a home workstation and a network. And, you know, that's, I don't know. So
even
that's
then
my understanding of VPNs.
You could chain that to another proxy as well, correct?
You could connect to a VPN from a proxy. Once you're in on the internal network, there might be restrictions on allowing proxies out. So,
right.
You know, if there was another computer in the network and you had a proxy set up on that, then you would connect through that and then have that, you know, it'd be kind of crazy. But, yeah, theoretically you could easily, you know, well, not easily, but you could set up a VPN to proxy. It'd be easier to just proxy and then connect to a VPN via proxy. So,
right.
That's why, yeah, and with VPN, you know, if you're doing something naughty, which you shouldn't be doing, you should always connect to a VPN from a proxy if you're doing something naughty with it, you know. But, yeah, that's pretty much what a VPN is. It's just a tunnel into the company's network, and then all of your requests are sent through the company's network as if you were sitting in the company. So, yeah.
Stuff.
Like if you go to any of the Radio Shack stores and you go on the computers in the Radio Shack stores, all of the computers are given, like, I think it's like 10.4.x.x IP addresses, and they're all VPN connected to Radio Shack's internal network. So, yeah, you can access all of their fun little internal IP addresses and FTP servers and stuff from the computers in the store. But should you try to access any of that from home, no luck. So. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, going on to Tor now. Tor is basically like proxy taken to the next level. Like, how Tor works is you've got you send a request out and it goes to one Tor server, and then what that does is it Tor encrypts your data before it sends it out, and then it sends it to the first server, which is where it, in the first server, interprets it, and then, or it doesn't interpret it. It gets it and knows where you sent it from, but it can't
read
what the data
it.
Is. So then Tor sends out the data encrypted to another Tor server, and that Tor server knows what... it knows the IP address of the other Tor server that sent it, and that one decrypts the thing. So then it has the IP address of the Tor server, and then it has the decrypted thing, and then that one sends it to another Tor server, and which has the other Tor address and the unencrypted thing, and then that sends it out to the internet, and then it comes back and goes the exact same path opposite. First one encrypts it again, and then it goes through and gets decrypted and sent back to you. So
each step it's encapsulated. Like, let's say I send one packet of data from my computer to the Tor. My computer encrypts it. It sends it to the first Tor server, and what that happens, my computer only knows the it sends to the Tor server, and then the Tor server takes that piece of data, and it with my IP address, and it what it does is it sends it to the second IP address or the second Tor server, but the second doesn't know the my original IP address at all. So the second Tor server only knows the server that just sent it, which is the first Tor server, and then the second one forwards it to the third one, and the third one has no idea, you know, who the first server is. It just knows the second server, and then vice versa. So it just sort of gets routed, and only each server maintains a list of who it's talking to. So each server is, you know, separated, right? I don't know.
So each of the servers, like, they don't know what the other ones have done. So
yeah, it's like a terrorist cell,
like,
or something.
Government asks for the logs of a Tor server. They would be able to get the logs, but they wouldn't be able to do anything with them because, you know, you can't connect them.
Yeah.
And figure out what connects with what and what each person was doing. So, yeah, it's much more secure than proxies are. But on the downside, it's really, really slow. Like, if you take the slowness of a proxy, then think, like, slower than that, then think 100 times slower than that, and
think 1,400 BPS.
It's not that slow all the
time. Okay, maybe not, but
okay, it's running
up
like 1K. It runs at like 1 to 2K right now at my high school. I run it because they block the AIM login server, and they block MySpace. And so I run Tor, And I look at the graph. It gives you the new Tor client for Windows. Gives you this awesome little graph that tells you, you know, what your throughput is. And it's getting like 1 to 2K max. My dial-up is so much faster. You know, when I go home, it's like, wow, look how fast MySpace loads. And when I'm there, it's like, oh my gosh, because it goes so slow. And the reason it used to, I remember when it was fast. I used to use it to, you know, to go to IRC networks that I had been G-lined on. You know, I wasn't allowed to go on the IRC networks anymore for various reasons. And so I would use it to get on there, and it was, you know, it was really fast. And I would actually use it to web browse too, you know, when I wanted to anonymous web browser, when I was trying SQL injection and stuff like that. And I didn't want the web, you know, show me, you know, show who I was. And it was fairly fast, you know. I was actually getting, you know, probably DSL like speeds. But now all of the little peer to peer jerk offs have discovered Tor. And they said, oh, look, we don't want to get sued by the RIAA. Let's download all of our music on LimeWire through Tor. Let's run all of our BitTorrent through Tor. And it just ruins it for everyone because the, you know, stupid little fucks are using it to, you know, they're just whoring the bandwidth for their downloads. And that's, you know, that's ridiculous. I don't do that. I run my Tor, and if they find my IP address and come subpoena me, you know, so be it. I'm not going to hide, you know, my downloading behind, you know, some proxy that's supposed to allow people, you know, anonymous browsing, not so some little 13-year-old punk can download the latest Eminem song, you know, without being found out. That's not what Tor was made for. At least not, you know, in my view. It's to allow anonymous browsing. So if you're one of those people out there who use Tor for peer-to-peer, take a pencil and insert it into your eye right now and push it all the way back into your brain. Because I really hate you. You've ruined it. You know, it goes so slow now. And I think there was one of the Tor nodes, which is what they called each server, in a circuit. They call it a circuit. When three nodes get connected, it's called a circuit. And they analyzed, like anonymously analyzed, the unencrypted traffic coming out of the one of the third end nodes, and they found that they didn't look at what the content was, but they were going by like what the header said, and I think they said like 90% of it was BitTorrent. And also, there is a certain client out there for BitTorrent, not going to name, but they actually have a feature right in the options menu to automatically have it work with Tor. It has Tor built right into it. So you click Work with Tor, and everything starts working with Tor. And, you know, it's horrible. So die.
Yeah.
Kill yourselves.
So annoying. If you have Tor, then do not, like, download huge shit.
Yeah, that's...
It fucks it up for everybody else out there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like those people with the free calling cards. That's great.
Oh,
you get a free calling card, and then all those people kept abusing it, and then, you know, they really ruined a good thing. So those people are assholes.
Fuckers.
Yeah. Fucking jerk. I can't say. I probably would have done the same thing with the calling cards, though. So I'm not going to say that that's not true. Because, so. Like, I know that I just got 4 USB keys from Microsoft, and I was only supposed to get 1. So I probably do the same thing sometimes, but yeah. You can get a free USB key from Microsoft. I'm not kidding. They will send it to your house within 6 to 8 weeks, and all you have to do is fill out a quick little survey.
Yeah, I did that.
The mystery solved thing. So Google Microsoft mystery solved, and you will find a link on how to get a free Microsoft USB key. It is blue.
I still haven't got mine.
No, I've gotten 4 of them, so maybe I've got one of yours. Don't you hate
me? How dare you? How big are they?
They actually vary. I've got a 16, 232s, and a 64. So,
oh,
and I've heard from someone who got a 128 for them. I don't know how they choose it, but they seem to vary. So, you know, I use them for, I run on the 64. I've got portable Firefox and portable Thunderbird on there. So, you know, I can bring my email, which it has PGP on it too, or GPG. So I bring my email and my Firefox everywhere.
Nice.
Yeah. And they also, speaking of portable stuff, portableapps.com, that's portableapps.com, they offer portable versions of Game, Thunderbird, AbbeyWord, which is a word processing program, Firefox, and I think there were a couple other ones. You can actually run an entire web server off of your USB stick. I think it's 110 megabytes. It comes with Apache, PHP, MySQL, and a couple other things, all off of a USB key, the entire web server. So you can bring a web server with you anywhere on your USB key if you have enough space. So,
damn.
Anyways, I wanted to quickly mention tinyapps.org. That has, like, a huge list of just a lot of tiny applications and, like, stuff for OS X as well, and a lot compared to portable apps.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know about that. That's cool. Portable apps has the original portable Firefox thing, which is just awesome. So, you know, check that out, too. I don't work for them or anything, so I'm not trying to, like, plug them. Yeah. That's where I got all my stuff from, and I'm really happy with it because I can bring my my GPG and Thunderbird with me and check my email wherever I am with my own client, and you know have all my private key stuff there and plus Firefox and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
I might have to check those out.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But yeah, Tor's now dog slow. Tor's dog slow because people have ruined it, and if people stopped ruining it, it'd be nice, but. And at the same time, it has a domino effect when people are using it to illegally download stuff instead of using it to illegally web browse stuff. No. When people are downloading stuff, it just the people who are running the OpenTor nodes, they're most places that are like universities and stuff like that, and they see that all their bandwidth is being used up so people can download BitTorrent when they're trying to contribute to something where, you know, it would be allow like real anonymous browsing. They're like, hey, you know, why should we be doing this and letting everyone download BitTorrent? And then they'll be like, oh, hey, let's pull out. Let's, you know, stop offering bandwidth to Tor, like, limit it. And that causes, like, a twofold, you know, negative effect. You know, so people are just, you know, they're ruined it. It sucks, so.
I mean, that's...
Sure. Yeah.
All right, so, yeah, let's move on now and go on to ARP poisoning. Also, I got to go... I gotta go convince my mom to not, like, take me off the line, so...
Yeah, I have to do that all the time, too. Isn't that funny? If my mom showed up at home right now, she would probably beat the shit out of me, and then... Well, she wouldn't really, because she can't, because she's small. But she would start screaming at me, and you'd hear me get bitched out, and then she would go and pull the cordless phone wire. She does it to me all the time. I'm very glad that she's out. She's yelling at me all day, and then she went out. And so I'm hoping that she stays out just long enough for me to finish this up, because... I was kind of worried. Also, I'm on a cordless phone, and she was on the phone all day, so I'm not sure how well the battery's going to hold up, but it hasn't started beeping yet, so when it beeps, generally I have like 15, 20 minutes left, so.
All right, so I'm going to be right back, because, yeah, I got to convince my mom to use her cell phone for whatever crap she has to use the phone for, so I'll be right back.
Okay, and I'll start ARP poisoning. All right. So first, this is going to be kind of a noob commentary here, but whatever. For those of you that don't know what ARP poisoning is, or, you know, have heard about it, haven't really looked into it, I'm going to kind of go in depth between this episode and next episode with it. So, enjoy it. So first off, what's ARP mean? ARP stands for Address Resolution Protocol, where one computer will send out a broadcast request for another computer on a specific network. In ARP's case, it will send out a broadcast for a computer who has a specific IP address. In reverse ARP, RARP, the computer will send out a broadcast requesting a reply from the computer with a certain MAC address. ARP is a very simple protocol, consists of merely four basic messages types. An ARP request, computer A asks the network who has this IP address. An ARP reply, computer B tells computer A, I have that IP address. My MAC address is whatever it is. Same thing with reverse ARP. So what does this mean to us? Well, take, for instance, computer A and computer B. Computer A asks the network who has this IP address. The network has the information and directs the request to the appropriate computer, in this case, computer B. So if you can trick the network into thinking you're computer B by sending spoofed messages to the network with computer B's information, all the traffic from computer A will actually go to you. This is your basic means for many other techniques used by hackers, such as man-in-the-middle attacks, TCP/IP hijacking, RTS hijacking, etc., etc. And that's kind of my introduction to it for this episode. Like I said, I'm going to go in more depth with it next episode. Do you guys want to touch on it?
Yeah, so basically what it is the computer is asking, you know, who is this person? You know, where's your computer at on the network? And instead of it going to the, you know, the hacker's like on there and it's like, you know, hey, I'm this person. And so you pretend to be them and you get all the address. And then for Man in the Middle, you would get all of their information and then you would route it to the legitimate computer B. But you would, you know, you would catch all of the ARP stuff in between. And so you would redirect it, I guess, and that, you know, it would be ARP is, hold on, yeah. So you just pretend to be the other computer, and all of the stuff, the other computer just blindly believes that you're the computer it's supposed to be talking to, sends all the data to you, and then you can do whatever you want with the data, including forward it to computer B, in which case, you know, nobody would ever know the difference because it's just all getting passed through you. So, I don't know. Yeah.
Keeping in mind, I have to physically be on the network to do that.
Yeah, I don't do that much stuff with ARP. I've used Kane and Abel, or Kane, yeah. I've used Kane to ARP spoof before because it has the option right on there for ARP poisoning, and you can do that. You can listen if there's VoIP on the network. You can record the VoIP conversations, and reconstruct all the packets. You can sit right there and have it all run through your machine. But yeah, you have to physically be on the network for ARP spoofing. We used to do that on some public wireless networks for fun. We would play practical jokes on people using ARP spoofing, so.
Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Word.
Anything from you, Grayfax?
Well, let's see. You know, I am familiar with using Kane. Like, I can't remember if it can record, like, Skype conversations or anything. I haven't installed the latest version. Apparently they've added, you know, support for new codecs and whatnot, but because it knows that it's there and it records it, but it can't, like, play it, which is weird.
I know that with VoIP I can record. They have the Cisco SIP phones at my school, and you can sit just about anywhere on the network and you can record all the conversations into WAV files. And that was the name later. That's actually how I got kicked out of school once. We used a school supply laptop and stuck it into a server closet and stuck it right in between the we had a PCA MIA Ethernet card and a built-in Ethernet card, and we ran all of the traffic through that for a couple days, and we filled up the 80-gig hard drive in it in those couple of days. And when we were going back to retrieve it, we were on our way out when a network technician walked into the room. The network technicians never show up at the school, but unfortunately, they just happened to be there, and we got busted, and we had to hand them over the laptop because it was school property, and so they found all these fun little things on there. But yeah, so
nice.
Don't try to hide laptops in the school server room when you're recording all the VoIP conversations. So, yeah, get out of that school district.
Another program that I've used, you know, for ARP poisoning, and you might be familiar with EtherCap. Or whatever, and that's really, I like it a lot just because you can replace, you know, the contents of HTTP packets and, you know, all that stuff. And
The on-the-fly, you know, where you can just replace all stuff on-the-fly, so you can make, like, every single message, like, just search out a text string and have it change with something else, or IP address, so I could have, like, every packet come through, I could just, you know, change out something, so I could have, like, someone's trying to go to Google, it, like, replaces it with my version of Google or something. Isn't that the awesome?
Yeah, my favorite is to replace all the images with one of my choosing. It's always good.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. And next thing I'm going to touch on is another little article I wrote up on what it means to do a stealth SYN port scan. A lot of you use Nmap. A lot of you may be familiar with it. A lot of you may not. So it all relates back to basic networking pretty much. But here it goes. So what exactly is SYN? SYN is a TCP/IP's synchronization packet that keeps all the packets when they go through TCP/IP through a connection. connection, all the packets have a sequence number. Those sequence numbers have to be in order, or else the connection will hang for a minute until it figures out how to reset that specific synchronization packet or not. So it's pretty much what that is. It's the beginning of the TCP/IP handshake, which when you start a connection through TCP/IP, it synchronizes to a certain port. That port from that computer will respond with a synchronization acknowledgement packet back to you. And from there, you would send
back
an acknowledgement. What? Oh, hey, thanks for interrupting me. Anyways, you'd send an acknowledgement packet back to that computer, to that port, to let them know that you guys have a setup connection. With a stealth SYN port scan, it's also known as half-open scan, because it doesn't actually open a full TCP/IP connection. So what happens is you send out this synchronization packet to that port. It sends back either nothing, it either doesn't respond, or it sends back the SYN acknowledgement packet back to you, where the port scanner will examine it, notify that port has responded, so it's obviously opened and or filtered, and from there it'll send out a RST packet or a reset packet so that you don't end up DOSing the connection with the host that you're scanning. Because once the synchronization packets get out of order, the host machine that you're scanning usually will start to hang up, causing them denial of service.
Ooh, SYN floods. Isn't that neat?
What?
I love SYN floods. SYN floods, man. SYN floods, SYN floods. The denial of service stuff. SYN hundreds of SYN packets. And yeah. Isn't that neat?
Oh. Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah, fun
so,
stuff.
So, that's pretty much what a stealth SYN port scan is. It doesn't finish the connection. It actually just resets it after it determines whether or not the port's open or not. So, it doesn't actually get any of your information, and the port doesn't ever really respond back to you other than it acknowledges that you've sent a packet to it.
Okay, so therefore, yeah, if you'd like to try out a SYN flood, and you would like to, just try it out for fun, you know, and SYN flood someone, the IP address is 24.4.4. What was the last number, Doctor?
What?
What was the last number? 24.4.
Oh, sorry, I had to go again. What?
Oh, I was joking about SYN
flooding
you.
One sec.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
so those are always
delays of Dr. Locke.
Yeah, wait. just ping Dr.
Okay, back again.
Holy
shit. Okay. What do you need to know?
What's the last number in your IP address? It's 24.4.4.6.
I don't know. What?
What's your IP address? It's 24.4.4.
Why would I say my IP address on the show?
Well, it doesn't matter. Firefox shows it anytime I try to visit your site.
Yeah, well, people can visit my site and figure it out then.
We were talking about SYN flooding. We were talking about good examples of who to try it out on.
Oh, so you're going
to
SYN flood me. Great.
I think we should do it.
No, I'm really good. Don't.
It's okay. He has a hard enough time uploading all the episodes and taking all of his bandwidth. Hopefully that will change.
Yeah, the episode's mirrored anyways. Do it.
Yeah.
The episode's mirrored. It won't matter much. It'll just hang you. I won't see you online for a few days.
Great.
So hopefully tomorrow, though, I'll be able to... tomorrow is the day I believe I have a class with computers at school, and I will be able to... start grabbing the STFU radio episodes and up them to the FTP server. So
yay.
Then you'll have a nice fast mirror. And I think the average download speed is between 80 and 150K
yes.
for a file. And you can actually have multiple files downloaded at once without it slowing down. So
sweet.
You can download all if you actually felt the need to. You could download this episode plus all 11 episodes at the same time at around 150K. So you won't be stuck at, I think it's like 10 or 20K that I get from the current upload speed. So, yeah, lots of nice little mirrors. Yeah, Doctor, you'll be able to browse the internet at full speed again. You won't have to worry about people.
Oh, my God. Like, he gets that many hits anyway.
Yeah. I don't know, a gig of bandwidth a month, that's not bad.
That is not bad at all.
Yeah.
A gig.
Okay, so my two little segments are done with ARPS poisoning and stealth SYN scans, synchronization scans.
So who's all still here? Is Doctor still convincing someone? Or?
No, I'm back.
You're back? Okay, and I'm guessing that went positively because you're still here?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Gray Fox is listening?
Gray Fox,
yeah, okay.
Whether I'm here or not is to be determined.
Yeah. So,
okay. So, you guys, everything covered? You ready to move on?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Wait. Hold on. What was the last address on your IP address? The last occupant?
What?
Just go to
Doc. I don't
even know
what my IP address is. I just use dr.z2a.biz.
Yeah, just ping that. I think it's like 24.4.4 and then dot something, so. Yeah.
All right, so, yeah, this next song is called Lean With It, Rock With It by Dem Franchise Boys.
No. Lean With It, Rock With It. Not Rap With It.
I said Rock.
Exactly. No, you didn't. You said Rap.
You just can't hear.
Noob.
Fucking you're nerd.
Yeah, so shut up. Okay, yeah, and when we get back, we'll go into plugs. So, yeah, sweet. Check it out.
Posted in the cut, and I'm looking for a blockhead. Yep, in my white tee, I break a bitch back, and I keep a big bank. Oh, I think they like that. Before I leave the house, I'm still on the goose, and I'm high in the plane. So a nigga really loose, and I can lean with it, and I can rock with it. And if you got a fish, you gotta suck the cock with it.
Hey, go on and rock with it, go on and lean with it. Rock so damn hard, you break your spleen with it. Pull up your jeans with it, smoke some green with it. In the spot, I ain't crunk, bitch, green in it. If you don't wanna do it, then I'll make you dance. Perfect example, watch me make your face beat up my hands. When you see me hit the spot, better watch that, boy. Chile plus the squads in the franchise, boy.
Lean with it, rock with it. 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 Lean with it, rock with it, 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 lean with it, rock with it. Now I'm gon' lean with it,
yeah.
Brush my shoulders off, cause I'm super clean with it. SK don't play, I gotta beam with it. If I fuck, you gotta let the whole team hit it. Yup, let the team hit it. Now rock with it,
rock,
shake your dress with it. Bend your back, snap your fingers, bob your head with it. I said lean with it,
lean.
Take a sip of the hen and rock with it.
Rock.
I'm with the X rolling hard, won't you
when pop shit pop out? I'm jumping out just like what's up, oh. I'm jigging that shit all the way down to the floor, oh. I'm up in the club and I'm creeping like a mice, cause my G out to the flow like I'm rolling on the dice. You know we showing, yup, and we all in the white tee. I lean and I rock. Niggas wanna do it like me. I run with bigger squads, I guess my motherfucking click, boo. Break that bitch back just like a real squad nigga do.
Lean with it, rock with it. 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 Lean with it, rock with it.
Then
snap your fingers,
right then
snap your fingers,
hey.
Saturday.
Lean with me, rock with me, got a pill, pop with me, gon' take a shot with
call
me.
Call me Teddy, I got grounds, don't hate, nigga, shot with
VH, me. VHS, Trap Squad, BRC, we know, bitch. Franchise ain't got no money, shit.
Hold on, bitch.
This trap shit and rap shit, I done did that shit. Lean with it, rock with it, gon' jig that shit.
The squad, Baker Road, and franchise on some other shit. Left with your bitch, with an ounce in his fifth dick. Didn't have to say much, cause he seen no blogs. Walked out the club, got on the phone, called a girl from a nun. What I'm all up to, shit, let's see how it turned out. Got a pack of them boys, now we headed to my house. Hey, you with that G shit, right? Cause I done leaned, I done rocked all motherfucking night.
Lean with it, rock with it. 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 Lean
with it, rock with it.
Welcome back to SJFU Radio. We're going to go into some plugs now. So first plug I have is the X-Fire, which is an instant messenger program for gaming. What it does is it goes and it detects if you're playing a game. So it and then when you're away or when you're playing a game, it sets your status as playing that game. And depending on the game, people can, like, join your game or join the TeamSpeak chat for that game or
Counter-Strike
and stuff like that, which is pretty damn awesome. So, like, I can have people on my buddy list, and, like, if I see somebody playing, like, Halo, I can, like, right-click on their name and click join game, and then I'll be able to...
Halo sucks.
No, are you kidding? My little brother's playing Halo on my computer right now. Halo kicks ass.
Halo sucks.
Counter-Strike is fun. Counter-Strike is where it's at, though.
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome. If you're
yeah, can I plug next? Cause I think my battery is going to die, so it's done.
Oh, noes.
Yeah. It's beeping.
So, so X-Fire is, if you have a Windows computer and play lots of games, check out X-Fire. Also, there's a plug-in for game that I got for X-Fire, so even when I'm booted into Linux, I can still log on, even though I won't have any of the features, and frankly, I don't play games at all in Linux, so...
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, but I can still be online when I'm on Linux with the game plugin, which is also pretty awesome. Plug styles, I guess. You got any plugs?
I'll let Zipcoder go first since his phone's about to die.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I'm going to plug Standard Error, the person, the user. Been Rare Forum guy occasionally, not anymore, though. And, also, he runs a security portal, which is stderr.linuxinit.net. I'd like to plug that because he has an awesome little Linux security portal, and, like, nobody ever goes to it. So, yeah, I don't know. But it's really awesome, so... He puts new stories on there every day. And also, I would like to plug myself and my website, which is Pandora Security. I just developed
Horse.
A new... Huh? What?
Horse.
Yeah, whatever. I just developed a new front end for it. Like, the whole front page of the site is redone. So it's at www.pandora-security.com. So come check us out if you're interested in, you know, hacker communication. And we're real big on hacker community. We don't flame anyone. You know, we're all about the scene, and you know, the old scene, like in the 80s, and so, you know, when everybody was friends with everybody and stuff like that, and all that hippie peace and love shit. So, that's about it because my phone is dying. I want to also plug Judy Chen because she made an awesome button for me for like my site and stuff. So, Judy Chen rocks, and so I'm gonna make her download this episode just so she can hear me say her name. So. Yeah, that's about all the plugs I have. I also like to plug Doctor for letting me be on the radio this week. This is like my first time ever, obviously.
Hey, listen, I asked you.
Yeah, so, okay, I'd also like to plug Thug for remembering me and, yeah, whatever. And Thug, you can have your Pandora security email address and stuff. So.
Yeah.
I'll set that up with you later. Aren't you lucky? But, yeah, so I'm actually going to leave now because the phone's about to die, so I won't be able to hear your plug, so I download the episode. But,
well,
you know,
thank you for being
on
the show.
And I'll let you upload this episode of the FTP, and I will upload the rest of them hopefully tomorrow, and everybody can go and download really fast, you know, the episode and stuff. So, hurrah.
Yay.
So, yeah, but thanks for letting me on. I had a lot of fun.
No problem.
You know, peace out.
Good having you. Later.
Yeah, talk crap. Yeah, you can talk crap about me, okay?
See ya. All right.
Yeah, okay, bye.
What a fucking noob. No,
I wasn't gone when you said that, right?
I know. I'm just fucking with him.
Okay, yeah.
He said you can talk about him as soon as he leaves.
Yeah, but he wasn't left when you talked about him.
I'm sorry. Anyways, so now my plugs. I'd like to plug this book that I've been reading. Pretty fucking tight. What the fuck? I just got a text message that said, is it cool to come smoke?
No, it's not. No. What's the
name my
of the book?
Okay. The name of the book is The Art of Steel by Frank William Abagnale Jr., the greatest con man of our fucking time.
Oh, isn't that the guy in Catch Me If You Can or something?
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
That's him. That is him. He is a genius, and that book talks all about fraud, how easy it is to get away, and how unsecure banks are, and how unsecure this world's gotten since technology, where you think technology has made it more secure. That's where you'd be wrong. So, yeah, it's a good book. Good read. What other plugs would I have right now? I guess that's damn near about it, to be honest.
I didn't know he'd written a book. I'll have to, like, pick that up.
Oh, man. He's written a few books. I mean, he actually wrote the original Catch Me If You Can. The actual book? Yeah.
Oh,
it was
cool.
A book. So that, yeah, it's definitely a good thing to check out.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, my next plug would be to the X-Men funny shit that I don't know what it's called, but
I'm the juggernaut.
Bitch. I am the juggernaut, bitch. Yeah,
that is the funniest thing. Oh.
Yes, it is the funniest video I've seen in a while. You have to watch it. You have not lived until you've watched it, and you will be saying, I'm the juggernaut, bitch, for the next, like, few days. So you can watch it at tinyurl.com/LV8XO. That is tinyurl.com/LV8XO. And you have to watch it, like, immediately. Like, you've not lived until you've seen that shit. Like, it is amazing.
Word.
Yes. And then my final plug goes to the movie Princess Mononoke, which I saw on Friday. And I know it's been out a while, but it was still awesome. I've never seen it before, and it's really cool. So if you haven't seen that, go watch it, because it's pretty freaking amazing.
Pretty fucking amazing.
Yes.
Word.
Ray Fox, you got anything?
I think spark plugs are really good. My website.
Spark plugs?
Yeah, spark plugs. Well,
okay.
We are doing plugs, aren't we?
Spark plugs,
anyways.
I might need a spark plug for my card.
Anyways, my website, hacktech.net, that's T-E-K, not T-E-C-H. And really, really great. Yeah, and let's see, what else? How about Murdoch for being sick and not being able to do my radio show for 2 days in a row?
Oh, no.
But he's still cool. And He's ordering some obscure hallucinogens. And yeah.
Started by his massive crack cocaine addiction.
Yay!
Okay. And just so everyone knows, Dr. Locke, his yays are just there to make up for his lack of content.
Anyway. Wait, you actually finished that episode? Or?
No, I didn't do it.
Fine, you pussy.
Never you mind.
Yeah, I think, is that all the plugs?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So this next song we're going to play is called Crush by Paul Van Dyke. Pretty damn sweet. And we'll come in with shouts after that and wrap up the show. Yep. Maddox.xmission.org, I believe, and he's also releasing a book pretty soon, which I will have to pick up, because that's got to be, like, leet, because, like, Maddox is the definition of leet, so any book written by Maddox must be leet. So, shouts to Maddox.
Maddox. Woot.
Yay.
I'd like to give shouts to Zipcoder one more time. It's cool having him on the show. He's actually... He did really good. He actually talked more than me and you combined, I think.
Yay.
Stop saying that.
He schooled us on what VPNs and Wingates were.
Indeed.
But I'd also give shout outs to his website again, pandora/security.com. It's pretty cool. Small community, needs to grow. Check it out. Join. Yeah.
Woot. Gray Fox, you got anything?
The who and the who? What?
You got any shouts?
I'm a disoriented old man. Shouts to myself, because I'm probably the latest guy I know. And,
what the fuck?
I don't know. Shouts to you for not getting mad at me when I, you know, just came to your show. You know, I didn't think anybody was here. I was planning on recording my show, and then you were here. And
what
you let me say. But anyways.
Shouts to you, Grey Fox. Shouts to you. Kudos.
Oh, dude. Yeah, you don't. Couldn't even probably record it yourself anyway, because
yeah.
You don't know the special secrets of my leetness that I know of how to record.
Why won't
things.
You tell me? It's
because it's not mine.
So I'd also like to give shout out to who the hell was I gonna give shout out to? Damn, I forget now. Oh, S.T. Deer, I guess. I don't know how you pronounce his name, but.
Standard Air?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Because he is pretty cool. He's a pretty cool dude, gotta say. And, yeah, that's about it.
And my last shout out goes, I gotta say this on the show, because nobody will get it, but I'll probably get slapped tomorrow if she hears it, or, yeah. So I gotta say, I love you, Lindsay! And, yeah. And now I gotta make sure she listens to that.
STFU.
Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that finishes it up. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch! And, yeah. So we're going to play the next song. It's called Looking for the Perfect Beat by Afrika Bambaataa and the Soul Sonic Force. it's really old, but it's really awesome. So, yeah. You will like it. Have a nice day and goodbye.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
People looking for the perfect beat. All the world nations looking for the perfect beat. My two nations, they have found the perfect beat. I'm Africa Bambaataa, I possess the perfect beat. Beat, 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 beat.
Looking for the perfect beat.